You're listening to Morning Edition on 90.9 WHYY. I'm Jennifer Lynn. It's 5:44. Good morning. WHYY-TV airs the new 10-part Ken Burns Lynn Novick documentary series, The Vietnam War, every Tuesday at 9, beginning tonight. It premiered a few weeks ago, and if you followed along, you may recall the story of veteran Marine Sergeant W.D. Earhart, who grew up outside Philadelphia in Perkasie. Peppered in with dozens of other testimonials, he reflects on his youth, enlistment, service, and life afterward. Earhart now teaches humanities at the Haverford School. He's a poet, writer, and Vietnam War scholar. I recently spoke with him between classes about his involvement in the documentary. I asked him how his gift as a writer helped him process his war experience.
The war did not make me a writer. I started writing poetry when I was 15 years old. The war certainly gave me a lot to write about. But even when I was writing about it after the war, I was also writing poems about geese in the autumn and broken-hearted love poems. And, you know, the war has never been my only subject. But being able to write about it did give me a way of grappling with it. When I came home from Vietnam, I didn't know which way the sun came up. I was a mess. As to a gift, I sort of wish I'd been gifted with the ability to play the guitar. You know, I'd love to fill Wells Fargo Center with 18,000 screaming fans. You know, I do a poetry reading. I'm lucky to get 10 people there.
You were interviewed for this series 6.5 years ago.
Yes. I actually look a little puffy in the face back then. I've lost a bit of weight since then.
Did you know what they wanted from your story? Did they say, okay, when we have you in, we're looking for this?
No. I talked about 4 hours or so. They actually had to call New York and have somebody drive down with more film because it turns out I had more to say than they had anticipated.
You didn't know how you would serve to move this story along.
I was very concerned about how I was going to be used. And in fact, there are some things that they didn't include. I really wish they had.
What would that be?
One day we were out on an operation and we got sidetracked somewhere and we're all standing around waiting for the column to move. And we destroyed a little Buddhist temple out in the middle of the forest. Why? Because we're just a bunch of teenage kids who are bored and got nothing to do. Now imagine if those people in that whole community weren't Viet Cong before that afternoon. And that's important because they talk about some of these other things, but it was those much smaller incidents that happened on a day-to-day basis that made it, they were never going to think we were on their side. And that got cut out. But the other one, and I actually really asked Lynn Novick, this thing about the anti-war people abusing veterans and stuff. I came back from Vietnam in March of 1968. The next day, I went to Fort Washington and I bought a Volkswagen. Only I didn't buy that car. I had to give the money to my father, and he bought it because I was not of legal age in 1968 in Pennsylvania. I've just spent 13 months in Vietnam. I am a combat wounded Marine Corps sergeant. And all the state of Pennsylvania says I am is a dependent child. You want to talk spit on? I sure as hell was spit on, but not by the people you think did the spitting.
What they did include about your story was the story of a welcoming to go into a dwelling with a woman. It was to have sex with a Vietnamese woman.
Yeah, yes.
And you and others you served with decided to make the choice to go in there. Then you came back from the war, you got married, you had a daughter. It weighed on you, that decision to do that.
Well, yeah. We didn't go into a building. We actually used a 60-millimeter mortar pit. Said, it is the thing I am most ashamed of in my time in the Marines.
But you wrote about this.
Yeah, this is not a secret. I have been very open about this for many, many years. I mean, I don't know. If somebody comes up and throws a water balloon at me or calls me a sexist pig rapist, you know what? About the only thing I can do is say, well, yeah, I guess so. But nobody's going to do that. People are much too polite to do that.
The other part is the Kent State moment you have, where the National Guard fires on students who are protesting. They're part of the anti-war movement. 4 die. And you...
Well, see, when I left Vietnam, I was really a wreck, an emotional wreck. All through that time, I'm actually engaged in incredibly self-destructive behavior, drinking heavily. Once I get to college, I'm practically suicidally depressed. When Kent State happened, I finally realized, oh, there's some connection here between what happened to me in Vietnam and the way I'm feeling now. What is it? But when I saw that photograph...
It's an iconic photo.
The iconic photo of the young girl kneeling, the dead bodies between her and the camera. All of this stuff I had been holding in simply burst. It was like a boil that had finally reached the point where it had to erupt.
And you decided to join the anti-war movement.
Yes. Of course, I thought, well, as soon as this, you know, veteran Marine sergeant says you really shouldn't be doing this, everybody's going to listen. It didn't quite work out that way.
What did you lose personally in the war, and did you get it back?
I lost my blind faith in my country and in my government, but I don't know that that's much of a loss. And I said, I think I see the world more clearly and more accurately than I would have if I hadn't been in Vietnam. Whatever positive stuff I got from the Vietnam War, I got at the expense of millions of dead people. That wasn't a fair trade. Mostly it was losing my self-respect, losing a piece of my humanity, and it has been a real struggle to get those things back.